He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Card.
And we are, for this show, having Jay DeMarkin back with us for this edition of the show because he's been in Europe, and we will get a talk. We will get a look at the European car situation in a few words from me when I finish talking about him. And then we'll come back to some other local things in the U.S. Jay, welcome back.
Thank you. So I didn't travel through Europe. I just went to Belgium,
That's
which happens
true.
To be the European capital and the capital of the beer capital of the world, and French fries.
Chocolate.
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 Other than that, I stayed there. So a few things. It's always interesting going back and see how people drive, what they drive, and compare to what we have. And my first
shock.
Well, it was not a shock, actually. You know, we're always complaining about infrastructure here and the state of our roads. And for once, I was driving over there, and I thought, man, these roads are not as good as I remember them to be. So it's not always greener in the other pasture. That was my first thought. People drive very differently. Like I was telling Robin this morning, if you're walking on the side of the road and there's a puddle, they're not going to slow down. They're going to go right by you at whatever speed they're going. And if you get splashed, well, so be it. And it's not – it's just the way they are. Nobody gets offended.
All of us have had, you know, tried to cross by, you know, either a roundabout or by the, you know, some sort of monument someplace without getting run over. So,
But the thing is, it's not anger.
No. It's just the way
people,
it is.
People
cars first, pedestrians, you know, later.
And people keep moving, and you go into a roundabout too wide through the roundabout, and then it's just a game to get out of it, and you lose some and you win some, but nobody gets offended and just keep going on. So it was pretty interesting. You have to get used to the fact that roads are significantly narrower, and small cars do serve a purpose there. You know, I always thought I was great at parallel parking. You know, we don't practice it much here,
no.
And I felt like an idiot there.
Even with a smaller car.
With a smaller car.
Because the spaces are so small. And
you know, big difference legally, they don't have cameras in all cars there. You know, now here in the U.S., we have to have
the backup camera.
Backup
right.
cameras since 2016, 17. I mean, it's been a year or two. No backup cameras. And they park cars just fine. What else about Europe? Oh, you have to refuel once in a while. That's when you go into sticker shock.
What are petrol costs?
So I just did the conversions today. Diesel prices have gone up about 40%, and we get back to that situation with diesel in Europe. Diesel has gone up to the point that it is now more expensive than gasoline.
Significantly?
It's $7 a gallon for diesel, and it's about $6 a gallon for gas. So,
okay, so they're both pretty tough, except the diesel gets much
better
mileage overall.
Diesel used to be 20% cheaper, and now it's like 15% more expensive than gas. And it's, you know, they do that through tax. They have no problem with raising taxes.
They just do it. There's no lobbying from the tax, from the people, or from the government.
Yes, but like, for example, just to bring it back here for one second, in case anyone hasn't noticed, we're already on the 2020 elections. You know, it's like whatever happened a week ago is
vanished
because it's now about setting, and we're rolling right into it. It reminds me a little bit of the
things. What are we rolling into?
We're rolling into campaigning for 2020. It's got nothing to do with people, is what I'm trying to say.
But the gas prices.
It's got to do – gas prices are – you know, they're raised because they need to be raised.
And gas prices have been coming down.
I'm not talking about gas prices here. I'm talking about gas prices there.
Okay. Yeah, and in your – but, you know, you can look at the prices. They're still about twice as high as what they are here, which goes back to, well, it makes sense driving, you know, more economical cars.
In your opinion, may I interject, do diesel cars – let's say the same model diesel car as a gas car equivalent – with this diesel cost being a little higher, get double the mileage of a gas car or one-third, 33% higher?
They get a bit more. I mean, look at what I drive here, and it's, you know, diesel is more expensive here than it is.
And you're getting, with your Touareg, your diesel Touareg gear here, you're getting 28 and 30 miles a gallon?
Yeah, let's say 27, 28
between tankful, day in, day out.
But okay. I'd be getting 22 with a gas
version. With a gas version, exactly.
Yeah, if I were lucky.
Okay.
So we're spending about the same amount of money. Interestingly, in Europe, what you're finding is the smaller cars are going to gasoline. The high-end cars are still sticking to diesel. And I think a couple of things. One, you know, big diesels are pretty fast. They're powerful, lots of torque. And I think, as usual in Europe, taxation on engines and power output plays a role.
But the diesels may be more effective in the big cars as far as mileage gains over gasoline versions of those cars than they might be at the smaller car level. Because the gasoline engines are becoming more and more efficient, as we have noted.
Yeah.
And I've been reading a few reports of some of these new smaller cars, and the highway ratings on these on the gasoline engines are up in the 35 miles per gallon range, which is not a whole lot less. And this is gasoline only, not hybrids. That's not a lot less than my current Sonata hybrid, which is topping out at 40 miles per gallon per tank full for a larger size car. But considering that hybrid drivetrains cost more than gasoline drivetrains, on the whole, there's no, you know, this is an argument that has been around for years about why hybrids didn't take off right away when they first showed up in the Toyota, other than the Prius. The Prius is an exception to this comment, but the Camry hybrid didn't take off, and the Sonata hybrid didn't take off.
We're moving back stateside now.
We are moving back stateside.
And that's fine. I think if we want to talk about hybrids, I think, and it's a little bit what we're seeing, I think, with the full electric factor, with the Tesla factor, I think there was a look at me factor in hybrid, in buying a Prius versus a Camry or a Sonata. People bought a Prius and wanted you to know that they were driving a hybrid.
And they were green.
And likewise, I think people buy Teslas partly
to let you know that they are. Is there a big focus on electric over there? Is there a big focus on hybrid slash plug-in slash?
What did you see in electrics, if any?
You see Teslas. A lot of Tesla S's, and they are really big cars in Europe, and they stick out.
I've talked about my friend from years ago who had this big Jeep Grand Cherokee mm-hmm. in Paris, which it's like having an elephant.
It is an elephant.
And the S's are even more so because they're wider than the Grand Cherokee.
Right. So
wide is bad in Europe because you go into a city
with those
and
narrow
streets
roads
are narrow. And I don't know why you're not scraping the side rear view mirrors.
There are streets. I went on streets in Belgium that are, you know, narrower than most driveways.
I don't think your driveway
would be to code here if it were that wide.
You've got the same problem. Yeah.
It's worth noting that mentally you cannot make an automatic transposition. It's like what you see here does not automatically project.
No, and I think they don't have a charging station network that we have here. Even though we find that is the big problem with electrifying our cars is that there is no charging stations throughout the country. It's even worse in Europe.
But
now, on the other hand, people travel less far, so
right,
arguably
I was
you can
say the
go,
distances on a daily basis are much right. less than they are here traditionally. I mean, do they have commutes like you do in going to New York from Long Island and all that? But you don't have longer.
But it's harder charging your car too because a lot of people, you know, again. Real estate is scarce. People live in townhouses. People park on the streets. I visited a friend who has a 330e BMW. So it's a hybrid. Actually, hybrids for tax reasons. If you own a small business in Europe, driving a hybrid in Belgium, for instance, driving a hybrid is just like
tax winning, break.
Oh, huge tax breaks, and he does it. But he's got his charging
station,
plug. Going across the sidewalk, and I said, you could never have that here. I mean, I almost tripped on it just walking on the sidewalk. So if you had every other car, it could be a liability.
Your bicycle.
You could never imagine that here.
It's like being inside.
Yeah.
Did the charging station come with?
The station doesn't come with the car.
No, but do you have to install it in front of your narrow townhouse so that you can play.
Well, I think he just goes into his house, and I didn't even follow the trail. But I mean, okay. I just tripped on the
110 volt charging cords go into a outlet.
We're talking here now.
Not dissimilar to this. Yeah, anywhere.
But I'm talking
European
about
or not. The 240 volts are a much higher
capacity.
Do they have 110? Charging.
No, they don't have 110.
They don't. Whatever European model is.
240.
Everywhere.
Well,
is it 240, 220?
220.
But it's not necessarily
having killed about 12 tape recorders before I figured. Seriously, yeah. I have a slow study before I figured out that all plugs weren't created equal.
Okay, should we come back to the States completely?
Sure.
Okay, my rant for the listening public is. Please, now that we have gone to daylight savings, it's getting darker even earlier. Please remember that just because your dash lights are on your dashboard of your car, your headlights may not be as it gets darker. Jay, you and I have been discussing this. I don't know that we've actually brought it to the point, but I'm going to bring it right now.
There are a lot
of cars that are running without headlights on in light conditions where they should have their headlights on. And Jay rightly said to me, it's because the dash lights are on. People think the dash lights are lit up, their headlights are lit up. This is not true, listeners. Many of you are driving with your cars with maybe DRLs, daytime running lights only, which means you don't have taillights behind you lit up. And it is amazing. Some of you who listen to this part of the show should spend some time watching the cars at dusk, and you will see exactly what we mean by suggesting strongly that everybody remember that they have to turn their headlights on in many cars, certainly older cars. Some of the newer cars have automatic headlights, and they come on their own if it's set to auto. But some you can actually not – you can turn the knobs and take them off auto, so it means they don't come on.
So a lot of cars are running without
any lights. Last night, Sunday, in this case – there were so many cars on the road at 5 o'clock in the evening that had not turned, did not even have DRLs, daytime running lights on, and they were dark gray cars, and they were in a line of cars with headlights on, and you could see the cars in front with the headlights, and you could see cars behind with headlights, and you could almost not see the car without the lights on go by you. And it could be very dangerous for those of you who are following behind a car that's not lit up, or making a turn across the laneway into a driveway if a car was coming down the road at you without headlights on in this dark, darkening early afternoon light. And it goes into the nighttime, too. And it's amazing how many people, to me, don't seem to realize that their headlights aren't on. Jay, any additions?
New York State Troopers would be some of them.
State Troopers? I'm not sure it's limited to New York State Troopers.
They don't run daylight running lights or, so.
Well, I'm not sure the Connecticut State Troopers do either. It's amazing to me that many state trooper cars do not have their headlights on all the time as they're going down the road. I don't know whether it's to be stealthy or whether it's just because they don't think about it. I am surprised at the light controls on those cars. Of course, they've got blue lights, red lights, orange lights, and they've got switches for all of them. And maybe they don't know where the switches for the daytime running light or headlights are in their cars. But I don't know what the Massachusetts, I think on the Turnpike, if on Mass Pike, I don't think the Mass State Troopers have their headlights on either the SUVs or the sedan cars. So you were rightly pointing that out. Now, they may turn them on when it's dark, however. And what I want the listeners to do is remember that you have a switch on and look at the road to see if your headlights are lighting it up or not. And if they're not, please turn your lights on. And if you think they are, make sure their headlights are on because daytime running lights are only front. Yeah. But used to be right, exactly.
No, but there are people.
Enough on that. Next, Jay. Horsepower. Let's talk about horsepower again, because I have here the Motor Trend 12 best driving cars. They're a version of the 12 best driving cars for 2018, and they start out with the Mustang GT and end up with number one being the Lamborghini Huracan Performante, with a few Asian cars thrown in the middle, and very few American-branded cars in this 12-car lineup. And of course, they've got high horsepower versions of many of them. They've got the Huracan Performante, and I don't know what the horsepower is on that, but it's.
All right. What do you want to discuss? The point. Well,
the point is, one of the ones they talk about is getting the power to the road so that you get the accelerated performance that the manufacturers claim the cars can do, and. In doing so, you, in my opinion, you wear out tires quite quickly if you actually drive these cars the way they are capable of being driven, just to show off or to satisfy your ego that you actually own one of these rigs.
If you drive any of these cars the way they're designed to be driven, you land in jail very quickly.
That is very true. If there are any troopers out there, but
there are.
Catch you.
There are. Believe me, you get. Sure.
Actually, back to Europe for a second. Not a lot of cops on the road. You know why? A lot of cameras.
Red light cameras.
And a lot of radars.
Everything is wired. Everything.
And you're just, yeah.
So you're
on camera, but you know what? You? My point is that people drive mostly faster than here, but they know where the cameras are, and the cameras are put in strategic locations where there is a safety issue. And you end up slowing down, and everybody slows down, and everybody's going the same speed. It's like race car drivers in the pit lane with the pit limiter. You know, you're going through the pits. Everybody's going the same speed.
Right.
And nobody's trying to pass.
So why do we need cars with these performance capabilities on the road at all in Europe or anywhere? It
sells magazines. It's fun.
Yeah.
You can show them off. You can take them to the track.
Why not? It's an industry. Why do you need haute couture?
Well, I understand the marketing aspect of it, and it's a bragging right situation in both the manufacturer's claims and owner's claims to have one, and when they go out with their neighbor's car behind them or something like that.
Well,
but let me tell you, let's go through the list
of those 12 cars.
Okay, let's go through the list. Number 12, the Mustang. Ford Mustang GT with the Performance Pack 2.
Okay,
there's a ton of grip. Those tires earn their keep, but the pronounced vertical body motions mean the car feels busy as the speeds rise, whatever that means.
All right, so just go, if you're going to give the cars.
Number 11, we'll just go to the list. Number 11 is the Corvette ZR1 version of the Corvette.
You mentioned they weren't American cars?
Yeah, right. You just mentioned, well, they're down at the bottom of the list.
The first two are at the bottom of the list.
What about the Corvette? You mentioned something earlier about the Corvette you wanted to talk about.
Well, the ZR1 needs to go to finishing school. Now, the ZR1 is probably not the Corvette. If I knew anything about Corvettes and wanted to even own one, I probably wouldn't buy the ZR1, but a lot of people think that ZR1 is the only one to buy. But they say to get all of its kinks worked out, it needs to go to finishing school. Otherwise, what's the point of all this power? There we go, Jay. That's what you wanted to hear. What's the point of all the power in the ZR1, which has got 755 horsepower to the wheels?
I'm not sure. My point was you wanted to bring up the mid-engine Corvette.
Yes.
The ZR1 is a great car.
Well, the Corvettes have always been interesting cars and been actually very good sellers over the year, but now Corvette is getting ready to bring out a mid-engine Corvette, which is what I was asking you about. And is this going to actually revolutionize Corvette's owners' thinking, and they were going to want to buy the mid-engine Corvette, or are they going to think it's heresy to be going from...
GM has finally figured out that the Corvette is a brand. It's a marketing thing. They're going to come out with a mid-engine car.
They're going to keep the regular one.
And they're going to keep the Corvette and call it Corvette Classic or whatever. It doesn't matter. But look at Porsche. They had the 911. I've been saying this for years. Porsche had the 911. 20 years ago, they came out with the Cayman. And guess what? They sell more Caymans than 911s, But meanwhile, they're selling more 911s than they ever did, and they're selling more Caymans than other people are selling other cars. And if Corvette comes out with a mid-engine car, they're going to be very competitive in that mid-engine market, and they're going to still keep selling as many front-engine Corvettes as they ever had.
And let's go to number two on this list of 12 best driver cars, and bravo, it is the 2018, well, these are all 2018, Porsche 911 GT2 RS as the number two best driving car in Motor Trend's version of the of this list.
And it would be my number one pick.
There we go, because you've been a big Porsche fan, and I applaud that. They are selling very well. They sell in very limited numbers, of course, because A, they're expensive, and two, they're limited production. They can't generally, for their benefit, can't necessarily keep up with production worldwide. Well, I don't think
expensive cars sell well.
Expensive cars sell well.
There's a lot of money out there, she said.
Yeah,
there's a lot of money out there.
So, and just for the your listeners, what just out of curiosity is the number three car, and what's the number one car?
I have said already is the Lamborghini Huracan Performante.
And the number three.
And number three is the McLaren 720S.
Okay. That's probably the best car.
According to
Motor Trend Magazine's version 2018. Of the 12 best driver's cars. If they're every, I don't know if all magazines have 12 best or 10 best.
But isn't the operative word driver's cars?
Yes, those are driver's cars.
Right, okay.
And, of course, these are the lists of the Motor Trend driver's list.
Got that.
These are not everyday cars.
Not. As a matter of fact.
Jay's idea of a best car is the Touareg.
What, for everyday?
Sport SUV, yeah.
Okay, just on back to Europe for a second.
Yeah.
Some people know, most people don't, but I drive a Volkswagen Touareg, and they stopped the
diesel.
The current model here is the last of the Touaregs. We now have a Volkswagen Atlas, which is a full-size SUV and a good vehicle.
Pretty nice, but
compared
not the
to the big Subaru and the CX-9 Mazda. But in Europe, they just came out with a new Touareg. And my car, I think, was a car that stickered at $54,000 when it was last sold in 2016. The new version in Europe sells for, ta-da, $84,000. You cannot sell an $84,000 Volkswagen here in the U.S., period, when you can get an Atlas for half the price. They won't sell a lot of Touaregs in Europe either, only because... And there, it's not a brand
tax issue.
It's just a size issue. Big cars don't sell in big numbers, period. But, and this is something to ponder, is the biggest market for the new Touareg will be China. And they're going to sell gazillions of them there.
And I will only say that many, many years ago when I was in Japan for a wedding, Mr. Hasegawa asked his daughter which Bentley she would like to take.
Yeah.
And
for a wedding gift, you mean?
Oh, to go to the temple. But there were three. Okay. It was a choice of three. You know, I've known you for a while, but I haven't seen your Bentley yet.
you aren't going to see a Bentley in my driveway.
Not the ever. Second or third. No, all right, we've got a minute left. What would you like to talk about?
Safety, winter driving. Jay?
Winter driving.
We may have a storm this week of this particular show being done. And
safety,
threatening us with snow.
Okay, well, snow tires would be great if you're not going to have snow tires.
Get well-treaded tires.
Well-treaded tires and good all seasons. Just relax at the wheel, look ahead.
Make
sure your lights are on and don't try to go around corners too fast. The leaves may have all blown off the road in the last few days, but last week when you were away, there were some slippery roads because of wet leaves on them as much as anything.
There are still wet leaves.
And they are, but many have vanished. I went through wiper blades. Make sure your wiper blades are effective and can clean the snow off and aren't the blade rubber is not torn and or therefore flailing on its arm. And anything else?
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.